those things are not titles, prophet, apostle. They are a work. He calls you to work. He who desires the office of a bishop desires a good work. His work is not a title. It's not a noun. It's a verb. It's something to do. If you knew how much it involves being pastors, you would hate being called a pastor. You would run from it because you wouldn't have a life. It would take your life away from you. But you see, in that third day, one deacon went to buy tomatoes, and then they waylaid him and set up a mock court, and they threw questions at him. And they said to him, "Stephen, answer us." And the Bible says, a young man, Shaul, was there, consenting to everything they had planned to do to Stephen. And as they put pressure on Stephen to speak, Stephen recounted the history of Israel from Genesis, when the Lord met them, right to Acts chapter 7, where he was standing. He says, "You have been stubborn. You have killed every prophet. And the Lord has taken note of it. And even now you are still bloodthirsty, for you have killed his son." And you know, as they were watching him, they saw his face glow and they became upset. Because Stephen had no right to carry the glory on the inside. The glory within. He had no right. He was a nobody. He was not schooled in Judaism. He was not known. If they had Judaic meetings, he would not be recognized. And Saul of Tarsus studied under the best of the best, Gamaliel. And you know what? That's why the Jews demeaned Jesus. When Jesus healed blind eyes, the Jews were not affected. They had seen people healed before. Elisha gave an army blindness and he took it off again. So they were not freaked out. They asked Jesus for a sign. When Jesus healed leprosy, they were not freaked out. Elisha won't even leave his bedroom. He said to Naaman, he sent a servant to tell Naaman, "Go dip yourself in a river 7 times. Naaman was upset that the man didn't even observe some courtesy and come out at least and speak to him. That's how belittling Elisha treated his leprosy. When Jesus walked on water, it was no big deal to the Jews. Moses tore the Red Sea. Joshua parted Jordan. And Jesus walked on it. It was the same thing. They got to the other side. Every time Jesus did a miracle, they asked him, "Show us a sign." What sign were they looking for? You see, Moses was the epitome of the Jewish experience of God. And Moses had an encounter with God. When he came down from the mountain, his face glowed and he had to use a curtain. And Moses said to them, "A prophet like unto me from amongst you will the Most High raise. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So prophet after prophet came and did things, but they didn't do anything they didn't show the sign of Moses. The sign of Moses was the glow, because Isaiah intercepted it and said, "His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, dwelling within us, working through us, glowing from within us, and affecting the earth." And when Isaiah got that name, Israel had been waiting. And you know, Jesus amazes me on the day he was going to show that sign. You see, for Moses, it was a glory shining upon him. But for Jesus, it was a glory within and outshining. It is that the same with you. It's a radiance coming out of you. You are a carrier of his glory and it flows out of you. Now listen to me. When Jesus was going to show it, he didn't even take the 12. He took 3 out of the 12. And he said to the 3, "Don't even tell the remaining 9 until I have been killed and glorified." Why would he hide such an important sign? It was because this generation is looking for signs. They don't know that his word endures forever. Jesus said the kingdom is within you. And he still asked him for a sign. So he gave it to his 3. So that when these things are fulfilled, share it with your brethren. Peter didn't understand it. It was on the day of Pentecost he understood it. The same man who denied his master a few days earlier stood up and said, "This is that which Joel the prophet spoke about." And the high priest said, "How How do these people understand the law? They've not been to school. Then they took knowledge that these ones had been with Jesus. They could only be with Jesus when the Holy Spirit came. You know, you don't be with Jesus physically. You be with him in the spirit. You can sleep with him and slap him the next day. You can eat with him and curse him the next day. That's the Christian experience we all have. When things are fine, Jesus, I love you. When things are tough, do something new in my life. That's our Christian experience. It's the height of it. We forget what he did yesterday. We forget his faithfulness in our eagerness to get something new. It was on that third day, gentlemen, as Stephen was speaking, the same thing that happened to Moses, but now in a greater measure, rose from within Stephen, and his face glowed, and Saul was jealous. Who is this? He hasn't even gone through our seminaries. He's showing us the sign of Moses. His face is glowing like that of an angel. You know an angel, the word angelos? It means a servant, a sent one, a messenger. A messenger. And Isaiah said, who is deaf but my messenger? I mean, when a messenger is deaf, what did he hear? Nothing. He says, who is blind but my servant? When a servant is blind, he will pour the wine on your dress, not in the cup. He says, who is blind but the man or the servant of God? It's time for us to repent. Did you hear me? It's time for us to repent. And Stephen, he stoned him to death. But the Bible said he knelt down. And he said, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. He called him Lord. That's too personal. Paul was angry. It's too personal. How do you know him? Every religion on earth knows there is a God. No worship knows he's personal until you meet Jesus. That's why we ask, have you made him your Lord and personal Savior? Call him my Father. Because when you call him Father, it's a call of love. You climb your father. You sit on his neck. You pull his beard. You laugh at his big stomach. That's what you do to your father. You tease him because he's old-fashioned. The word father doesn't imbue fear in you. It raises visions of love, passions of intimacy. And Saul had never called him father. But when Stephen called him Lord, Saul heard it. And at the gates of Damascus, when he heard the voice speak to him, he said, who art thou, Lord? He had made the transition. He had made the migration. Who art thou, Lord? That's what migration is. And we came to tell you in England, it's time to migrate. Move your ministry to another dimension. Don't sit down at the level of entertainment. Migration is not moving from point A to point B. There is no place on earth that is the ideal place. The UK has its own challenges. But wherever the righteous man dwells, a shout of victory will come out. If he is in China, a shout of victory will come out. If he's in Nigeria, a shout of victory will come out. Wherever the righteous man dwells. When Saul heard the voice, he said, who art thou, Lord? Ooh, that was migration. Migration is a movement in the spirit. Migration is a movement in understanding. Migration is an elevation beyond what you used to know. You knew him as the Lamb. Give me, give me, give me was all your prayer. Now know him as the King. He's the one that demands service. He demands worship. He demands honor. I love the Holy Spirit. I love to talk about you. It's you that the Father gave to Jesus to give to me. As a gift, you are the gift of the Spirit, so that I can bear fruit. Thank you. The gifts of the Spirit is not so I can entertain, but so I can bear fruit. Create in me a clean heart. Shalom.